The following content is provided to you as a ministry of Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters, a high adventure Christian wilderness camp in Andrews, North Carolina. Snowbird Wilderness Outfitters exists to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ through the exposition of Scripture and personal relationships in order to equip the church to impact this generation. For more information, visit our website at swoutfitters.com or follow us on Twitter using the handle @SnowbirdSwo. Enjoy the message.
Amen. Take your Bible, if you brought one. If you didn't, that's cool. We'll have it on the screen. And turn to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 1. Hebrews is in the back of the Bible, way towards the back of your Bible. And as we said last night, we're going to be talking this weekend about how we see Jesus throughout the Old Testament. And we learned that testament means covenant, and a covenant is a promise. Everybody get that last night? So the old promise would be summed up in this. Here's what the old promise that God made to man was. Is that God was going to send a Savior into the world to save people from the brokenness of the world. So for thousands of years, people were expecting that promise to come true. Now, it came true like 2,000 years ago. So we look back at the fulfillment. You don't know what the word fulfillment means? Completion. Of that promise. We look back at it. We know that Jesus was the completion of God's promise to bring salvation into the world. And so we live in what's called the New Covenant. The New Covenant is the promise that God has made through Jesus to save us from our sins and to one day come back and put all things right in the world. So the Old Covenant or the Old Testament was for thousands of years God saying to man, I'm going to save you from the brokenness of the world. I'm going to save you from your own sin. I'm going to save you from hell. And the new covenant is God saying, I did what I said I was going to do. I came into the world. I conquered sin. I conquered death. I conquered hell. I went to the cross. I died. I shed my blood for you. And the new promise is this. Because I did all of those things, you can have the free gift of salvation. And one day, I'm going to put everything in the world right again. So Jesus has fulfilled a lot of what has to happen, but there's still some things that have to happen yet, right? In history, we know that one day Jesus is going to come back and he's going to establish a forever kingdom that'll be a perfect place. I want you to imagine a place where there's no pain, no sorrow, no suffering, no heartache. That's what Jesus is going to do. He's going to build a kingdom like that. And so in the old covenant period of history, up until the time that Jesus came into the world, Jesus used three types of people to prepare the world for his coming. Now, when we look back at what Jesus has done, we know that he is the final prophet. He is the final king. The Bible says Jesus is the King of Kings, and he is the final high priest, which we're going to get into that some tomorrow, okay? So Jesus fulfilled everything that needed to be fulfilled. But in the olden days, before Jesus came into the world, God used three types of people to prepare the world for Jesus' coming. And this morning, we're going to look at the first type of person that Jesus used to prepare the world for his coming. And that was Jesus used prophets. Prophets. So we're going to talk about prophets. Have you ever heard of a prophet? You ever heard that word? Okay, so throughout the Bible, we'll see men who were called prophets rise up. God would raise them up, and he would use them to speak. Okay, so Hebrews chapter 1, we're going to read a couple verses this morning, and then we're going to dive right into God's word. It says this, this is the word of the Lord. Long ago, at many times, so long time ago. Now, this was written about 2,000 years ago. So 2,000 years ago, the guy writing this said, long ago. So now for us, that means it's long, long ago, right? Long, long, long time ago. Long ago, at many times and in many ways, God spoke. So God was speaking throughout history at different times in history and in different ways God was speaking to people, okay? Spoke to our fathers by the prophets. But the main way God was speaking was through prophets. Now, what is a prophet? We're going to get into that. We're going to help you understand what a prophet is. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. So a prophet was simply this. A prophet was a person that God commissioned. You know what commissioned means? Like charged him with the responsibility, gave him a job. God would commission that prophet. He would give him the responsibility. And here's what the job was that God would give to prophets. I want you to go to the people. And who are the people? The people that were listening. The people that were hearing. Humanity. Mankind. God would say to the prophet, I want you to go to the people. And I want you to speak to the people. And here's what I want you to tell them. I want you to give them a message from me. So a prophet's job was to speak a message from the Lord to the people. Simple enough? I want to show you my favorite prophet. And he happened to be kind of the favorite prophet for most of the people in this day. And his name was Elijah. So if you got your Bible, turn over to 1 Kings chapter 17. We're going to look at the story of one of these prophets. This dude was crazy, man. He was like dreaded out. He had a big, huge, burly beard. He was a mountain man. He lived out in the woods. He was called a Tishbite. I don't even know what a Tishbite is. I think it's kind of like a Robertson, those Duck Dynasty guys. You know, like, I think he hunted and lived off the land. He lived out in the woods. He was a wild man. People would see him. Like, Elijah was the kind of guy that when people would see him show up at a grocery store, they'd be like, get their kids and go down the other aisle, which he would just go to the meat aisle. So as long as you were at any other part of the grocery store, you were safe. All right. So he was a wild man, and he would show up on the scene. And people would be like, what is this guy? Who is this guy? Well, he was a wilderness man, and God called him out of the wilderness and out of like this crazy, crazy, into this crazy ministry of preaching and proclaiming God's word. And Elijah's specific task was to preach God's word to the king. Now, here's what was interesting about the king. The king was a wicked man. The king's name was Ahab, and he was married to a wicked woman whose name was Jezebel. Have you ever heard the word Jezebel? Ever heard the name Jezebel? When I was growing up, this is funny. When I was growing up, my grandmama, if she was going to call a woman a bad name, she'd call her a Jezebel. She wouldn't call her like nowadays. I'm sure there are words that a girl might get called that are really negative. If my grandma, she called somebody a Jezebel, that was bad. She'd be like, that old Jezebel, that's like a cut down, okay? Well, that comes from a woman who was a queen. So you've got Ahab is the king. Everybody say Ahab. Ahab, he's the king. And you got Jezebel, she's the queen. Everybody say Jezebel. Jezebel. Ahab and Jezebel, husband and wife, king and queen, wicked, wicked. All right, think back as a little girl, a little boy, every movie you saw, maybe it was a Disney movie or some other kind of kid movie, a lot of the fairy tales involved a wicked king or a wicked queen. You know what I'm talking about? Or someone, maybe there was a good king, but there was like an opposition to that good king. Ahab and Jezebel were like the original evil king and queen. They were bad, okay? And what they were doing that was so bad is they were taking all that the prophets before had said about God's promises, and they were saying, let's don't listen to what the prophets say. Let's make up our own rules. In fact, let's make up our own religion and let's worship other gods. And they created their own gods. They made up their own prophets. And what it came down to is that Ahab and Jezebel wanted to be seen as God. They wanted to be seen as God. Now, in school, you might have studied the Roman Empire. And at some point in history, the Roman Empire came to power. And the kings of the Roman Empire were called Caesars. And you might know that the kings of the Roman Empire were considered to be gods. And so this is a pretty common thing. In our day, the dictator in North Korea, have you read much or heard much about that guy? That family of dictators, they consider themselves to be like gods, okay? So this is pretty common. When a man rises to a throne, he considers himself a god. Well, the problem is this. There's only one God. And he got a name. You know what his name is? Jesus. That'll preach now. One God, his name is Jesus. The Bible says there's one God. Okay, now, in the olden days, Jesus went by a different name. Yahweh. That's kind of a cool name. Yahweh. You got to say it like with your throat. Yahweh. That's cool, isn't it? Everybody say Yahweh. That's the name of Jesus in the old covenant, in the Old Testament. Now, here's the thing. When Jesus came into the world and revealed himself as Jesus, Jesus was a normal name. You know what? If we translated the name Jesus today into English language, you know what it is? Joshua. Joshua. It's a pretty common name. And in the Spanish culture, a lot of people will be named Jesus. You've heard that. Okay, that's the same thing. Okay, so Jesus is just a common name. But his old covenant name was Yahweh. That's who he is. And if we were going to translate Yahweh into the English language today, we would say the Lord. the Lord. Have you ever referred to Jesus as the Lord? Yeah, so that's his name. So in the olden days, Jesus would reveal himself to people as the Lord or Yahweh. And so he was the king eternal sitting on a throne. Well, this little guy comes along, Ahab, this little man, he thinks he's big stuff. And he's got this crazy wife, Jezebel, she thinks she's big stuff. And they're like, we're going to be in charge. New religion, we're not worshiping Yahweh. We're worshiping this other dude called Baal. All right. Now, Baal was crazy, y'all. He was buck nuts. He was insane. He was out of his mind. He was not God. He was a demon. But he had deceived the people into thinking that he was a God. And so the people start worshiping him. And so, well, if you got a God, you need to have prophets. And so what do we say a prophet is? A prophet is a person who speaks the word of God. So Ahab and Jezebel, they got a bunch of prophets together. And they're like, you guys are going to be the prophets of Baal. You tell the people what Baal says. And so these people, what they were doing was they were controlling the people. So if I was a false prophet and I came to you and you believed me and I said, listen, you have to give all your money to Baal. And you bring your money and you give it to me and then I would get rich. Pretty jacked up system, right? So out of the woods comes Elijah the Tishbite. That's his name. All right. First Kings chapter 17. Let's read about Elijah. You ready? Now Elijah the Tishbite. Now where we get that name from? Well, it says of Tishbe in Gilead. Tishbe in Gilead, which is this place. Where Tishbites came from. He said to Ahab, So the mountain man's talking to the king. He rolls up in there, big staff in his hand. He's wearing like animal skins, big beard. Boom. He's like, I want you to picture like Gandalf or something. You know what I'm saying? Like he rolls up out of there and I don't know that he had the big hat, but he's like, it's like this man, you take him serious. Everybody's just kind of like, the king's secret service agents were probably like, what's up, man? What are you doing? He's like, I got a word for the king. Get out of the way. And he had this authority because here's the thing. A true prophet would have the authority of God. And so oftentimes prophets would do things and people would be scratching their hair going, how in the world did he do that? Well, it's because God's hand was on him. And so Elijah the Tishbite, he rolls up there to the king and he's talking straight to the king. And he says, as the Lord, recognize the Lord. What does that mean in the Old Testament? Jesus, Yahweh. As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives before whom I stand, there shall be neither dew nor rain these years except by my word. And the word of the Lord came to him. Depart from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. You shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. He went and lived by the brook Cherith that is east of the Jordan. And the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening. And he drank from the brook. And after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. I've got a little dog. His name's Walt. He's about this big. He's not full grown yet. He's a blue heeler. I don't know if you know what those are. Cool little dogs. And you know how I feed Walt? I only feed him a little bit in the morning, a little bit in the evening. I control his food. That way he knows I'm the boss. Because if I just, you know what I'm saying? And you know what I feed him? I'm a hunter. And so I kill a lot of animals throughout the year. And I take all of the scrap meat and bones and I freeze it in big gallon Ziploc bags. And every night I set one out and thaw it out. And in the morning I dump a bunch of meat scrap on the ground. Walt is the happiest dog I know. He wakes up and he's like, I'm going to get some raw meat. And some bones, and some fat, and some gristle. And he ain't got to do nothing but just wake up and get fed. Walt doesn't wake up and be like, I got to go to the grocery store today. Let's see what we're going to do for lunch. What time we want to eat lunch? We got to be, like on Sundays, Walt's not like, we got to make sure we make it to the Mexican restaurant before the rest of the Christians. I call Sunday at the restaurant the Crusades. We got to charge to the restaurant and beat everybody else there, you know. Walt ain't like that. Walt just knows he's going to get fed, and he's going to get fed good. So here's what happens to Elijah. See, when you're doing what God told you, God's going to take care of you. So Elijah looks at the king and he says, I got news for you, king. It's going to stop raining. It's not only going to stop raining, there ain't even going to be dew on the ground. See you later. And he walks off and goes into the woods and then like just disappears and goes and hangs out by this creek. And the birds bring him fresh meat every morning. I mean, I'm talking like outlaw ribeye from Longhorn. Here you go. Served up sizzling. That was good. I'm going to kick back by the brook for a while. And then that evening, I got you some more meat. And the Lord just feeds him. How's he feed him? Look what it said. It said, the ravens brought him bread and meat. Birds bringing him. If you're an animal lover, it's like one of the coolest scenes ever. It's like something out of a Disney movie. The birds are bringing him food, you know? It's like, this is awesome, okay? So what God's done is God's used the prophet. Now, what do we say a prophet's job is? To speak the word of the Lord so that people would hear it. This man speaks the word of the Lord to this wicked king, and then he steps away. Now, watch this. So the second characteristic of a prophet is that a prophet would speak the word of the Lord, and it would come to pass. A true prophet, if he says something's going to happen, it's going to happen. Like, I could get up here and I could say, all right, guys, today at 3 o'clock, Jesus is going to come back. And then at like 3:01, well, I'll be standing here going, that guy's crazy, right? When a prophet says something and it don't come to pass, you put him in another category. It's called crazy. Okay, so there's prophets are like out there. But as long as what they're saying is coming true, you're like, man, those guys are legit, but they're intense, man. They're crazy and a good crazy. But if as soon as they say something and it don't happen, then you're like, oh, they're crazy, bad crazy. You know what I'm saying? Y'all know the difference between good crazy and bad crazy? Like, because I think people tell me I'm good crazy. But some people tell me I'm bad crazy. Well, what is it? Well, when I say a prophet is good crazy, I mean he does things that are so supernatural and so out there that normal people are going, what in the world? So when a prophet is doing what he's doing, it's coming to pass. But when he starts to say things are going to happen and they don't happen, you're like, we don't trust this guy. He's crazy. Okay? So Elijah goes into the wilderness. He's just hanging out. What is he hanging out for? Well, he's waiting on the word of the Lord. Because that's what a prophet does. He does what God tells him to do. Well, it comes to pass. It quits raining. There's a drought in the land. And over the rest of chapter 17, you see a couple more things happen. In 1 Kings 17, starting in verse 8 and going through the end of the chapter in verse 24, you see some miracles happen. One of the other things that would often accompany the ministry of a prophet is that he would perform miracles. I would encourage you to read the rest of chapter 17. Some cool miracles happen right there. And in this, when a prophet would perform a miracle, that was doing what we call foreshadowing to what Jesus was going to one day do. Now, do y'all know what foreshadowing means? Have y'all ever heard that word in school? All right, foreshadowing means something happens in the story that's sort of given us a hint or a clue of something that's going to happen later in the story. Does everybody know what foreshadowing means? So when a prophet would perform a miracle, it's setting us up to know that one day Jesus is going to come along, he's going to do miracles, and then the ultimate miracle that he would do is come back to life from the dead. So you see Elijah, he comes out of the woods, he quits eating, you know, by the brook, and he comes out and he's living in town for a while and he does some cool miracles. And then we get to chapter 18. Now watch this. 1 Kings 18, 8 through 24 is what I want to get to. Let me read verse 1 first. After many days, the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year saying, go show yourself to Ahab and I will send rain on the earth. So 3 years have passed. We pick back up with Elijah. God says to him, go back to King Ahab. King Ahab. What's the king's name? Ahab. Everybody say Ahab. Ahab. Crazy king. Wicked king. Mean king. For 3 years, you know what Ahab's been doing? Getting thirsty. Because there ain't no water. Why ain't there no water? Because Elijah prophesied the word of the Lord, it's going to stop raining. And guess what? When God says something's going to happen, guess what, young people? It happens. God does, by his own authority, whatever he pleases. And it's always good. And it's always right. And it can be trusted even when we don't understand it. And so there's this drought in the land. So 3 years later, God's like, hey, Elijah, I want you to go back to the king. So he goes back to the king. And here's what happens. In verses 8 through 24 of 1 Kings chapter 18, this crazy thing happens where, I'm going to paraphrase, I'm not going to read it all. I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Elijah rolls up in there and he's like, okay, here's what I want to do. I want to have a showdown. I want to have a duel, a fight to the death with the prophets of Baal. Now remember, we talked about the false prophets of Baal earlier. Y'all remember that? So Elijah is the true prophet of God, of Yahweh, of Jesus. And he says, I want to challenge the prophets of Baal. Y'all think y'all so good? Let's have a showdown. And here's what the showdown is. They go up on this mountain. They build a big altar. An altar is this thing made out of stone where they would sacrifice animals to offer to their God. That's an altar, okay? And so he says, I want y'all to put these dead animal parts up on this altar. And I want you to put the dead animals up there. And then I want you to cry out to your God, whose name is Baal. And if you're true prophets, then he's going to do what you ask him. And I want you to say, oh, Baal, would you send fire down to consume the altar? And then when you're done, I'll cry out to my God, Yahweh, the Lord, Jesus. And I'll ask him to send fire down to consume the altar. Whoever's God sends fire down will know that's the one true God. Whoever does not will know he's a false prophet. And you know what the punishment for false prophets was? They're going to kill him. So Elijah's bold, ain't he? He's bold and he has faith and confidence in his God. So here's what happens. They bring the prophets of Baal. They come up there. They put the animal on the altar. They build this altar up. And they start to cry out for their God to send fire down. And nothing happens. And it's funny. Elijah starts talking trash to him. You got this big bearded mountain man. And he's like, hey, man, maybe your God's asleep. At one point, he says, okay, this is true story. It's in there. He says, maybe your God's like relieving himself. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, maybe he had to go take a grumpy, you know, like, okay, so maybe he's asleep. Maybe he's hungry. Maybe he's on vacation. Maybe, and he's talking trash. It's like the most awesome thing. It's one of the, like, you'll see this sometimes in scripture, like legitimate trash talking. And so they get so upset that they like start screaming to their God, and they take spears and swords. They start cutting themselves. And they think that if they pour their own blood out, it'll like invoke emotion in their God. The problem is, what did we say their God is? He's a demon. And you know what God's doing to the demon? He took these two fingers right here and he pinched his lips shut. He's like, hey, you shut up. Don't you say a word. Let's watch this. And that little demon God's like, you hear me? Because God's the boss, man. And that little demon God's like, I ain't, in his brain, he's thinking, I ain't helping you boys today. And they're down there cutting themselves, and Elijah's like, hey, maybe he's in the bathroom. And nothing happens. So then Elijah rolls up. He's like, all right, you guys are done. It's been like 6 hours. Nothing's happened. Step aside. All right, now here's what I want y'all to do. Put a bunch of water on the altar. He makes them pour like these big 50-gallon drums full of water. They ain't got no water. Remember, it's a drought. So they're having to go get water, bring it. They soak this thing down, and he's like, oh, God, would you please, like, you are the one true God. Would you consume this altar with fire? And it just falls from heaven. It's one of the most intense scenes you can imagine. And Elijah's like, all right. And they put all of those prophets to death. It's a great victory. It's a great victory. Now, in chapter 18, and down in verse 39, we get a summary of what the job of the prophet is. Look at this. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and said, the Lord, which means Yahweh, which means Jesus, he is God. The Lord, he is God. The main job of a prophet was to show people God, to lead people to God, to show people the one true God, to reveal him to the people. And so Elijah has accomplished the job that a prophet has come to accomplish. And all these people come to faith that day. It's a powerful and beautiful moment. And it's a moment that you think, man, this would be such a moment of victory. Okay, now, what happens next is, get down to verse 41. And Elijah says to Ahab, go up and eat and drink, for there's the sound of rushing rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went to the top of Mount Carmel, and he bowed himself down on the earth and put his face between his knees, and he said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went and looked and said, there's nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. And the 7th time he said, behold, a little cloud like a man's hand is rising from the sea. And he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go, down lest the rain stop you. And in a little while the heavens grew black with clouds and wind, there was a great rain, and Ahab rode and went to Jezreel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah, and he gathered up his garment and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. So this kind of like another cool little miracle. Like you've got the dude, the mountain man, he outruns the horse and chariot, you know, back to the city, back to the gates of the city. And what happens is Elijah says, Lord, I would ask that it rain now. And God allows the rain to begin to fall. So God's continuing to speak to this prophet. But I want to show you something that that should be an encouragement to us, because I've seen God do great things in my life. If you're a Christian, you've seen God do great things in your life. If you're not a Christian, my prayer is that you would see the power of the gospel in such a way that it would change your life, that you would receive what Christ has done as a gift of salvation. Elijah has seen great things, and Elijah is a bold man. He's probably one of the most fearless people in the Bible. But watch what happens to him down in verse 3 of chapter 19. We'll start in verse 1 of chapter 19. Ahab told Jezebel all that Elijah had done. Now he had killed all the prophets with the sword. Then Jezebel sent a messenger to Elijah saying, "So may the gods do to me and more also if I do not make your life as the life of one of them by this time tomorrow." So the queen says, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to kill you. By tomorrow, you send word to this man. I'm going to kill him." So this bold, brave guy that's got the hand of the Lord on him, God fed him by ravens in the wilderness. God spoke prophecy through him that came true. God allowed a revival, which is a turning of the hearts of the people back to the Lord through this man's ministry. And this one crazy woman says, "I'm going to kill you." And guess what happens? Elijah freaks out. Verse 3, "Then he was afraid, and he ran for his life and came to Beersheba, which belongs to Judah, and left his servant there. But he himself went a day's journey into the wilderness and came and sat under a broom tree. And he asked that he might die, saying, 'It's enough now, Lord, take away my life, for I'm no better than my father's.'" Now listen, this is crazy. He runs away. He goes back into the wilderness, but this time he goes by himself. You see, there's something that happens beginning in 1 Kings 19, verse 3, all the way down to 1 Kings 19, verse 8, 7, 9, I'm sorry, through verse 9. What happens is there's about a 6-verse period where Elijah the prophet does not hear from the word of the Lord. God no longer speaks to him. But what he does is he acts in his own power. Because you see, the prophets of old, they were just humans. And sometimes they would get it wrong. So Elijah starts to do things on his own. And here this brave man is like running away. I got chickens at my house. And every morning when I'm getting ready to leave, and one of my most entertaining things to do is watch Walt chase the chickens. It's pretty fun. But when I'm leaving to take, I got to leave the house. I'm taking a couple of my kids to school. Those chickens are free ranging. I got this long gravel driveway, and I get down off the hill and about to the road, and them chickens are usually down there, and they're usually just pecking around, you know. And they'll be out in the middle of the driveway a lot of mornings. And I'll come running down that hill, and they will freak out like it's the first time they've ever seen a vehicle. And they will run, and they're running all over the place, and their wings are fluttering, and they're just like, they run up the mountain and down the hill, and sometimes they'll run across the main road. And once in a while, one of them will get run plumb over, smushed, squished, dead. And I'm like, "Guys, I drive in and out of this driveway like all the time. Y'all just don't stand in the road. You don't have to freak out. You know the drill, right? Like, what are you freaking out?" And every day I drive by and I'm just like, "Stupid chickens, man. They're so dumb, man." I remember one morning I was in a hurry. This is about a year ago. I'm running late to get a couple of my kids to school. I'm driving out of there. I see the chickens, and usually they're just kind of wings fluttering, and they're all running out from front of the truck. And I'd hit the main road, and I'm shifting gears. Why? Here we go. And my wife called me. My wife is her nickname's Little. Little's the girl that plays drums. And she called me, and she said, "Hey, man, you just squished one of the chickens. You just squished," she had a name for it, like Hilda or something like that. And I was like, "I squished who?" She said, "You squished Hilda, man." She said, "You ran right over her and squished her. She is gutless in the driveway. You got to do better than that." And I'm like, Hilda deserved to die. Survival of the fittest. I'm alive and she's dead because, like, it's survival of the fittest. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't get in the way of moving trucks, y'all. If you get in the way of a moving truck, you will get squished, okay? So every morning I'm leaving and the chickens are freaking out every single day. I'm like, "Come on, guys, what are you doing? Come on, ladies, come back. Just go hang out, eat some worms or something, you know? Just chill out." So you got this moment where Elijah's like, man of God, prophet of the Lord, confronts the king, speaks the truth, calls down fire from heaven, puts the evil prophets to the sword. All the people turn to the Lord. He leads them to salvation and repentance. And then he goes, and he just takes off running. And you're like, what? There's like this 5 or 6 verse blip in the story where you're like, dude, what in the world just happened? And here's what it is. It's a reminder that the greatest prophets of old were not Jesus. They were men that God was using. They weren't perfect. They spoke the word of the Lord, but it was just that. It was the word of the Lord. It wasn't their word. So Elijah and all of his faithfulness, he's still human, y'all. The best Christians you know, they mess up. They have bad thoughts sometimes. They say bad words sometimes. They lose their cool, lose their temper. They struggle with temptation. But see, the writer of Hebrews says that Jesus was the final prophet. You know why he's the final prophet? Because he's the perfect prophet. He didn't mess up. He didn't shrink back. He didn't run away into the wilderness when evil came. In fact, at one point, Jesus went into the wilderness to face evil head on with temptation from Satan. He's the final prophet. Now, this story's cool because what happens in the end of the story is that this guy, Elijah, eventually in verse 9, you see there, it says, then he came to a cave and lodged in it. So he's hiding out in this cave out in the woods. And the word of the Lord came to him and said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? God's like, dude, you got to go back to work, man. And Elijah responds and gets obedient and goes right back at it. But again, Jesus was obedient to God from day one. So hundreds and hundreds of years after Elijah came into the world, Jesus came into the world. Now let's go back to our text, which is Hebrews chapter 1, and it says this. Long ago, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. We just looked at one of those prophets, a man named Elijah. Awesome dude, but not perfect. What was Elijah doing? He was preaching and proclaiming that people should turn to Jesus and that one day Jesus would come into the world to save people from their sins. And in Hebrews 1, verse 1, God spoke to our fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, but in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed the heir of all things, through whom also he created the world. I want to leave you with three thoughts that you're going to take into your share groups this morning. And it's this. Three thoughts. Jesus is the final prophet. Okay, that's what it says. And when he came to the world, he came to tell us the truth, which is the greatest message that we could ever hear. But here's ultimately what Jesus was doing. He was fulfilling the prophecies or the message and the word of all the previous prophets. There's three things that I want you to know. Number one, Jesus came into the world as a fulfillment of several thousand years of prophecies under the old covenant. So all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the old covenant, people were looking forward and the prophets were preaching, one day someone's going to come and save you from your sin. One day there's going to be a perfect prophet. One day there's going to be a prophet who, when he speaks, it's literally the very words of God. And he's going to be perfect in every way. And he's going to come and he's going to save you from your sin. Jesus was the fulfillment of that. Number two, Jesus came into the world as the final prophet to give us the final word, which is the gospel of Jesus. Here's what that means. What Jesus has said and done in the word of God is final. Listen to me, young people. Nothing will ever be added to or taken away from this book. We unapologetically stand on the authority and under the authority of the word of God. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. What we hold in our hands when we hold the scripture is the final prophecy, the final word, the completed work that God intends for us to have. There are not going to be any more prophets in our life because Jesus was the final prophet, and the word of God is literally God's word to us through his Son. Amen? He's the final prophet through whom God has spoken. And number three, lastly, Elijah, like every other prophet, failed. He was faithful. He was good. His ministry by the largest margin could be measured by success and faithfulness. But there were points where he failed and he messed up. And I want to tell you something, young people. No matter how broken your world may seem at times, Jesus never fails. Jesus never backs down. And in his ministry on this earth, when he was facing the old rugged cross, when he was facing the Roman hit squad, when he was facing these men that were going to beat him, terrorize him, brutally murder him, unjustly take his life from him, he said this, I'm the one in control. Nobody's taking my life from me. I'm laying it down, and I'm doing it on purpose. And if I lay it down, I'm going to get up from death again, and I'm going to bring anybody that wants to go, I'm going to bring them with me. And you're going to go from death to life through your faith in Jesus, because Jesus never shrunk back from what God sent him to do. He never ran into the wilderness. He never hid in a cave. He never lost heart. He grieved. He wept. He sweated through his, literally through his, like blood came through his sweat. He grieved over the sin of the world. He wept over Jerusalem. He wept over his dead friend. He grieved over the loss of life at times. But Jesus never shrunk back. And what I can present to you this morning through the word of God, by his authority and power, is a prophet who has fulfilled everything that God intended for him to fulfill. Who then stands saying to you as a young person, would you come to me and receive what I have for you and follow me and give me your life and I'll satisfy you and I'll fill you up and I'll take your sin and I'll cover it with my blood and I'll give you freedom from the brokenness of this world. Jesus doesn't preach a prophecy about some other Messiah or God or King or Lord. He says, I'm it. I'm the one. I'm the way. I'm the truth. I'm the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And this morning, young people, I want to challenge you. We're going to go into a time of worship through song. We're going to sing two more songs. And as we sing, I want you to turn your, I want you to don't talk to your friends. I want you to don't, I want you to zero in on the words we're singing. And I want you to search your heart. And I want you to ask yourself this question. Have I put my faith and my trust in that great and final prophet named Jesus? Do I believe that he is who he says he is? And do you receive what he's done for you? And do you accept the forgiveness he offers you? Because it's yours to be taken freely because of what Jesus has done. And you cry out to God right there in your seat. And as you sing, mean what you say. And give Jesus your life. Give Jesus your life. You need to talk to somebody or pray with somebody. Man, you grab your youth pastor. You grab a Snowbird staff member. And we'll take you out to a quieter place. And we'll sit and we'll pray with you. And we'll help you understand what it is to have a relationship with Jesus. And for those of us who are children of God, let's worship Jesus because he's worthy. Let's end our time that way this morning. Amen. I'll pray and we'll worship. Lord, I pray that as we open our voices and our hearts to you in song, that you would receive the gift of our praise. It is a gift and an offering to you, and it is given to you because you are worthy. You are the God who saves. You are the one true God. You are the God above whom there is no other. And Lord Jesus, I thank you that you're the final prophet who has spoken, and what you have spoken, we can trust without hesitation. I pray for young people here this weekend that don't know you, that you'd bring them from death to life. You'd bring them into relationship. You'd help them to put their faith and their trust in you. As people trusted you through the message of Elijah, I pray this morning people would trust you through the message of your word that we've looked at. In Jesus' strong name we pray. Amen.